And what if I could help women live in this way where they are responsive to the downloads? They set aside, I mean, we have so many survival strategies at this age and they've worked so well up until now, but I swear to God, once you pass 50, those survival strategies are going to kill you.
Welcome to 50 Not Dead. I'm your host, Cameron Hubian. In this podcast, we make the invisible dramatically visible by exploring the biases, freedoms, challenges, and the power that come from being female and 50. Watch out, world, we're not dead yet.
I'm so happy to have a very special guest with me today. Meredith Besch is a clarity coach and a dear friend. You're gonna love meeting her. She is luminous and lovely and calming and is just a wonderful human. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy that you are here. And Meredith, to get us started, will you tell us a little bit about yourself? Just like who you are. I know you, so I know all the wonderful juicy things, but like I discovered last time that you have bunnies.
Yes, the secret life of bunnies. So I am out here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I have two grown girls, one in college, one in high school. I still have the bunnies that they, asked for. And they are my secret little treasure because I love to go in and watch them eat lettuce. It's just, there's something just so calming about watching little animals eat. So, and then contrast that with my huge mastiff. I have a 160-pound mastiff who is just a couch potato. So that's my home life. In my business life, I'm a clarity coach. I come from a pretty high-performing background, and I'm now helping women really settle into what's next for them using intuition and soul rather than all those analytical skills that they're so good at.
That's amazing what you just said in terms of like coming into who you are without the analytical part, but just being who, being your authentic self. Yes. And now you said that you come from a very high performing place.
Yes,
can
I do.
On that?
Yes, I think you'll relate. I think there's a lot of us who can relate to just not only am I currently in the Silicon Valley and I worked at an elite university at Stanford. But, you know, I was really drawn to this place and to work at that place because I had this inner drive to succeed and perform and to, have a excellent reputation and to do good work in the world. And so I was in corporate all my life, doing some startups and then landing at Stanford. And I was head of marketing and strategy for our alumni association. And I worked there for like 16 years. And then, you know, I could feel it coming on, this sense of exhaustion and, you know, raising two kids too and full-time mom at home. Oh, yeah, yo, the soccer, all the things and doing everything top notch. And I just remember the work finally, I had a big, huge project that I was in charge of. And of course, you know, you put me in charge of something and I am 100%, you know, in control of its success. Like I will not let it fail. And that kind of intense energy really did a number on me. And I woke up one day when I was just, you know, I had been feeling really tight and I've been sort of jostling my hands. I worked on the computer all the time and I knew I was in bad posture and I was like, oh, that feels really stiff and that feels awful. But one morning I woke up and I just couldn't use my hand and my whole arm, it was just limp. And I realized I had pushed it and talked to my HR department and they basically ordered me to stop working, which was the most devastating thing that had ever happened to me, which is saying something. Because when you stop a high achiever and an overdoer from overdoing and achieving, we have to confront ourselves and, you know, and who we really are without all that busyness. And that was a journey.
Wow. I think, you know, one, it's like I'm talking to my soul sister here. I can totally relate, like the idea of when you own a project and you like dog with a bone, right?
Yes.
And the fact of then getting told, okay, you can't work. I'm actually pretty impressed with your workplace to have that as their response.
Yes. Well, we are on the West Coast. We're a pretty progressive place. They had a lot of resources for people who had work disabilities, and they weren't fooling around because they wanted you to get better. And obviously they didn't want the liability. There was a requirement to leave. I couldn't even go online. I was like, hey, you know, I got another hand. I can use the other hand. I could still work virtually. It's okay. I got this. And they're like, no, they had to put their foot down. And I remember being totally shamed by that. I don't think my boss really understood. He was a guy and he was head of the organization, and as many good qualities as he had, I think he kind of screwed up his face when he looked at me. He was like, kind of like, get over it, like toughen up. You know, I was probably putting a lot of judgment on this man. He just wanted stuff to get done. I was so devastated that I couldn't be the one who could fulfill those goals that I had signed up for. So it was very humbling and damaging in a way that I realized this work culture and the person who I am in this work culture, I can't heal here. And so I needed to leave after 16 years of a really great place, great job. Had to, I just resigned. Much to the dismay of my leadership, they're like, why? I was like, you know, I just know there's something else and I have to follow it, and I'll let you know what it is.
And so is that, like, was that the kind of the conduit or the jumping off point for PauseBox?
Well, exactly. How did you guess? Yes, I took a year off. I negotiated with my husband because, you know, the Bay Area is not an inexpensive place to live. And I said, hey, honey, can I, you know, have just a year where I figure out my next thing? And I was totally convinced that I'd come up with some million-dollar idea, because, you know, that's what you do here. We're just all really groomed to think, oh, I'm going to have the next big thing. So I embarked on that, and it really was, I call it my soul sabbatical now, looking back, because it was a chance to really rest and rejuvenate and to tune in. You know, I had lived so fast and I was so busy that, I mean, I had self-awareness, but not to the extent of, I was not aware of all the stuff, all my old strategies and how they were kind of keeping me in a box. And it was that summer that I just opened myself up to napping and walking and reading about intuition and, you know, taking a lot of classes online around just self-improvement and personal development. And that, at the end of that tenure, I was getting very stressed out because I hadn't thought of my million-dollar idea yet, because that's classic me. It's like, okay, yeah, we got to force this. Something's got to, you know, materialize. And I remember a coach said very wisely, she knows that when you're trying to chase a solution, the solution doesn't come. You have to actually back off so that you can receive the solution. She's a very wise soul. And she's like, how about if you just take a break from this kind of problem solving energy, like for a month? And I was like, no, I've already been doing this for so, like, TikTok, I got to get on this. And so she's like, okay, how about 2 weeks? And I'm like, how about a week? I'll give this a week. This is how much I will trust this process. I'll give it a week. I will not think about it. And then we'll see what happens. And sure enough, the next day, because I had created some self-care practices and I was tuning in and I was utilizing my intuition and I was, I had some good journaling practices. The next day, I was in a meditation and the PauseBox name dropped, and it felt, I mean, when you get a download, it feels weighty. It's like, pay attention. So I wrote it down and then I was like listening. Okay. Like dot, dot, dot. What else? And there was no other information that was coming. It's just like, PauseBox, figure it out. So, and that's how I began my entrepreneurial career.
Can I just tell you that, like, if I have little hairs on, I mean, like, all my arm hairs, my leg hair, well, hopefully,
leg hair, and shave mine.
Like, I'm tingly all over.
Thank you. Well, that's exactly the feeling. When you get the downloads, your body responds exactly that way. Totally cool. So don't you want to live that way? So that's what I was like, hey, what if this could be a way of living? And what if I could help women live in this way where they are responsive to the downloads they set aside? I mean, we have so many survival strategies at this age and they've worked so well up until now, but I swear to God, once you pass 50, those survival strategies are going to kill you if you keep doing them.
I love that, right? The survival strategies will kill you because survival's not enough, right? And when your survival strategies are actually not helping you survive, but they're the basis of your demise.
Yes. That's what I've noticed. Yep.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So do you mind me asking? Well, I'm asking. So
I do not mind.
You can choose not to answer. I'm curious to know how old you were when this download came for you.
I was 47.
Cool.
Yep. 47, had no idea that menopause was on its way. So I boldly, you know, jumped into the fire of entrepreneurial life. And I'm glad I did when I did, because at 47, even though I had the huge repetitive stress injury, my body was still very available and, you know, pliable, and it would respond. And then I know this is not a show about menopause, but I swear to God, perimenopause happened unbeknownst to me, because we don't talk about menopause. And all of a sudden the crankiness, like, oh, my joints hurt. And oh, my, you know, I've got some fog, or oh, I'm feeling so depressed, or God, where did the weight come from? I have not been eating. This is not fair. So a lot of my journey just in the last couple of years has been really kind of going toe to toe with my body, like feeling very betrayed. Because in the past, she was always with me. Like I could abuse her and, you know, use her in any way. And she would always like show up the next morning, like ready to go. But now she's like, nope, we have a different relationship now. Like you actually have to listen to me. You have to soothe and comfort me. You have to nourish me. You even have to take some supplements. So yeah, there's a whole new relationship with the body I'm noticing, because I'm 52 now. So that's been my journey.
So you started a career pivot and life transition at 47.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the perimenopause, wow, we are like toe to toe in that, and that weird stuff, the weight coming from God knows
where.
And, you know, but at the same time, having the energy battles, but also that creative energy to start something like really cool.
Yes. Well, that's also the bonus of this phase of life, is that you have this incredible capacity for, for possibility, right? Because, you know, the kids are getting a little older, you're kind of stepping into a new role with them. It feels like you get to be, instead of, I call it, midlife is this time when we have to let go of what we've learned and plug into what we know. And it feels like after 50 is, I know that to be true. Like we have just this amazing discernment that we can switch into if we pay attention.
Wow. Let go what we've learned and plug into what we know.
That's my new bumper sticker.
I love that. I mean, I'm like processing that as you say that, of like, let go what you've learned and listen to what you know. And it's like, that is so similar to the work that I do in terms of like recognizing that the client is whole, they're not broken, and helping them, right? Helping them see all the goodness inside and see that they have the answers. But I really love that the way that you're phrasing it, you know, again, this owning what you know, leaning into what you know. It's like exciting and kind of scary, right? It's like letting go of what you learned, like, oh, that all that stuff worked for so many years.
Right.
And trusting that what you know is actually better.
It's a lot of trust. Yeah.
Do you find people are scared of that?
I think we're reluctant until we have some kind of forcing function. Like for me, I had to, you know, my left side of my body had to go limp and weak and to get my attention. So I think as humans, I think we work our strategies until they don't work. And then we're left to like, what the F now? And then you're committed. You're like, oh, I am actually hungry for a new way forward. Those people, they are excited to plug into what they know because they know what that they've learned is no longer working. But then there's, you know, a phase where they're still, you know, I'm still rocking my old stuff and my survival strategies are mostly working. And so those folks are not committed. That's okay. They'll get there or they won't. Maybe their path is just so different. Yeah. But I think for the high achiever, I think the high achiever does get a wake up call. And this wake up call is all about, can I keep doing it the old way? And isn't there more? Like, wasn't there supposed to be more than this? It's a midlife moment. Aren't we all having them?
Oh my gosh. Reminds me of a conversation we had, I don't know, 15 minutes ago. Right. So for the listeners out there, Meredith and I were just talking about how I have a hard time setting boundaries sometimes, and or a lot of times. It's just something I have to work on. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm recognizing that by not flexing that muscle or that energy worked for a really long time. And I know this as a coach, like I totally know about this, but on the same or on the other, not the same hand, maybe on the other hand, I'm recognizing that I'm still need to learn some of that because it doesn't serve anybody well if I don't really learn how to manage that and to be okay with setting boundaries. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And what you just illuminated for me was the knowing, I know, because hey, we're coaches, we're smart, we're, you know, we're woke, we get it. Knowing up here in the head and then knowing, embodied knowing is so different. I think we have a lifetime of head knowledge and we have yet to really explore our body knowing. And I think after 50, that's the body's kind of knocking on the door going, okay, let's start having this conversation. I've been left out in the cold for how long? So now I'm in, and this is where the knowledge happens. And once you have it in your body, you don't forget it. It's like, it's there, it's wired, it's available. It's not a technique. It's not a thought process. It's like, boom, solid. You're a different energy.
That sounds so cool.
I make it sound really, really easy. It is very, very simple, but it is not easy.
Yeah. Well, yes. And easier, I would guess, to say and to maybe not even to explain, but to say and let somebody else know that it's possible, and a little bit harder for being on the receiving side and being like, oh, but is it possible for me?
For me. Yeah. So true. Yeah, it is. I can tell you, as the poster child of pleasing, proving, and perfectionism, I can tell you it is possible.
I love the three P's. Pleasing, proving, and
perfectionism.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm totally writing them down. Goodness. It reminds me of the Boy Scouts, which I obviously wasn't a Boy Scout, but my friend Jeff Rhodes was very much a Boy Scout and raised in that whole thing. And I believe there's a bunch of P's around piss poor planning prevents piss poor performance or something like that. I'm sorry, Boy Scouts out there that I totally don't know, but something about P's.
You've messed their motto, right, man. Yeah, well, the three P's, those pleasing, proving, and perfectionism, those are the strategies that I feel like that are killing us, because those are the ones that have made us successful. They made us, you know, get approval. They create success. They create connection, but they've run their course. And after 50, they're exhausting. I call them energy leaks. Like they literally leak you of energy, and to maintain them is exhausting, and to suppress who you truly are, because that's the battle. You know, after 50, the thing that really wants to be born and the person that wants you to become you starts to like get a bigger voice.
Yeah.
You have to start listening. Otherwise you're kind of suffering from exhaustion or body issues or relationship issues. It shows up somewhere if you're not taking care of it.
It makes a lot of sense. It also just rings so true of, you know, again, my frustration with myself with the boundary issue, for example. It got away with it. It served me so well for so long because it was the pleaser. And to your point, like the exhaustion and the depletion from then not having the energy. And And frankly, like, I don't want to stay up until 1 and 2 working anymore. Like, I did that when I was 25. What is
right.
this? And this is crazy town. And that's yeah. not one. It's not the model that I want to, well, certainly not the model I'm trying to build. And it's not the model that I want to be for my clients whom I yes. want to serve fully and wholly. And I am a huge believer in teaching by doing, you know, and setting a good example.
Can I just say, just for all of us who have all overgiven in our lives and continue to do so, even though we are incredibly amazing, powerful coaches, you know, I'm really transparent with my daughter, who's 16 and she's a junior, and I share a lot of my business stuff with her just because I want her to learn what it's like to build a business. Like, mm-hmm. I wish my mom was this transparent with me about what success looks like and what failure looks like and what fear looks like. But this need to make yourself right. What I teach in my framework around being the creator in your whole life is around, it's not about making right decisions. It's about making your decisions right. Now, I've borrowed that from an improv teacher, not about making right decisions, but making our decisions right. What that is around honoring yourself. And this to me is the doorway to full living after 50. It's full living at any time of your life, but especially after the 50s, when lots of constraints start happening or lots of transitions or lots of changes, there's a need to honor who you are. Know that you've developed these strategies and they're going to kick in sometimes and you're just going to be triggered and it's just going to, you know, you're going to overgive. And then you say, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. I can make myself 100% right that in that circumstance, I did that. Great. Now, how can I soothe myself and help me feel whole instead of shamed or limited or less than? Because that will just repeat the process if you keep saying, well, I was, you know, no good at this. So this is the, I think the honoring is really what happens after 50. How can I honor myself? How can I honor what I'm feeling? How can I honor my needs and get them taken care of when they show up and not, you know, wait? So that's the over 50 conversation. I think we all, especially women and especially high performing women, need to be having.
That's illuminating in the way of thinking of that. It reminds me of a client that I worked with, and I remember her saying, "What keeps me going is the shame of not performing." And when somebody else says that, right, it's so easy to say like, oh my gosh,
no.
You do not need to live from that place. You don't deserve it. You're too good. Like right. You are all the things and you don't need to live in that like high performing way because you're ashamed of letting somebody down or not getting it all done. So you just kill yourself, do it again and again and
yep.
again.
Yep.
So easy for me to see that in somebody else and be like, you so don't need to do that. You are so like, you have so much to offer. Please give yourself the benefit of the doubt, give yourself the space, the grace, the honor,
yes,
all grace. Of the things. Right. Yep. And then when it's ourselves, it just becomes so much more difficult. Which is why we need people like you.
That's what I was going to say. That's exactly why coaches exist. It's so that we can help point that out.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. And so you alluded to full living after 50. And I would love for you to expand on that a bit, not just, well, so I know you have two things going, right? Does full living after 50 incorporate both the series and the retreat?
It does.
Can
yes,
you
it does.
Share? Because it sounds so cool. And I am really super interested in learning more about this retreat, especially.
Okay.
But please tell us about both.
The whole enchilada. So full living after 50, another download came when I realized that I was hiding my life from my business in that I wasn't showing up in integrity because I was having all these issues about age and, you know, hormones and weight and crankiness and whatever. And I was kind of putting on a really, you know, good face out in my social media. And, you know, I was very compartmentalized. I wasn't inauthentic. I just was like, this stuff's private. I haven't figured it out yet. And I'm a big figure outer. So once I figure it out, then I'll, you know, And it dawned on me that if I'm an energetic being and I teach energy, and if I'm in struggle, which I was literally in struggle energy around my body there, I felt like I was being victimized. I felt it was a battle, us and them. I felt like I'd been betrayed. I felt all the grief, and I was in struggle energy. And I was not bringing that into my work, and it was compartmentalized. So then I said, well, if I'm struggling with it, and I'm, you know, a pretty expert person when it comes to energy and creating life you love, and I can't quite deal with this part, like there's got to be other people out there who are also maybe putting that one in the closet and saying, well, I'll get to you later, or, you know, maybe I'll just fix it later, or when it's fixed, I'll talk about it. Like there's a lot of like needing to look smart, look with it, look together. There's a whole lot of appearance stuff in my story. Especially the Stanford thing, you know, like think reputation, like it's just a thing. So the download came, like, what do you want to talk about? And this life after 50 just kept coming. And I kept thinking, well, that's a little scary because I don't have that figured out. And then I have a coach and she's like, what makes you think you have to have it figured out in order to share it? A, and B, you've been in this body for how many years? Like, I think you can say you're an expert on your body. I was like, yes,
insight.
I'm definitely an expert in my body. So the program itself, I said, you know, let me have conversations with a handful of women who I absolutely trust, who are practitioners who've helped me. I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on different modalities and tests and protocols to help my body make this transition, to help my own energy improve. And like, let me just hand select this great cohort, have conversations that are really frank, and, you know, let the women discern for themselves what path to take. Like, I'm not here to prescribe a procedure or, you know, drink this or take that. But let's have the conversation, because it hit me out of nowhere. I was not expecting to start feeling like crap because I'm so good. I always do all the things. I'm an overachiever. Like, this felt so unfair. So that was the kind of genesis of the Full Living After 50. It's now a video series. I'm in, I think, the sixth week. So we're kind of wrapping up this particular volume of episodes. And so that's available for anybody who wants to check it out. It's at pauseboxco.com. And then the other love that I have, that I had before Full Living After 50, but now I can see how important it is in the role of the conversation of women after 50, is I have a retreat. And I hold it in Sedona, where the healing energy of the Red Rock is so potent. And it really is, it's a relax, receive, renew. That's the structure of the retreat. And we sink really into the receptive knowing part of our bodies, rather than the figure outers part of our body. And I take 4 to 5 women. It's a very intimate retreat, and we do the transformational work of, you know, who do you want to be? What energy, who do you want to be in the world, and what energy is calling you, and how do you step into that and let go of all these old defaults that have gotten you here but won't get you there?
Wow. How do you do that?
Like literally?
Well, I mean, what would some of the, like, what would maybe one day look like, or what would be like one little nugget that you could share? I know you can't give it all away, but like,
yes. Well, I can tell you what it's not. How about that? Because sometimes I know what things are when I know what they're not. So what it's not is, it's not me teaching you a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to be lecturing, or even, I think last time I gave maybe 2 little mini teachings, and it's 4 days. So very little. We do amazing activities. So I design experiences so that you are present to your default energy, and then we debrief it. So it's very much a coaching container. So that's where the magic happens. And when you have 4 to 5, you know, powerful, insanely cool women who are committed to transformation in a room together, and we are sharing transparently about what life could be for us, that's also co-created magic. So it's more about the experience. It's more about the debriefing. there's incredible luxury, of course, because I have a bit of a luxury bug. So we're staying at a phenomenal Airbnb. We have exclusive access to certain experiences. And that just feels fun. It feels rejuvenating. It feels good. Oh, the food. It has to be really good food because we're over 50 and we have to eat well. Like, we got to eat clean, you know. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we do at Retreat.
That sounds fantastic. If somebody wanted to like talk to you about the whole shebang, how should they get a hold of you?
Yeah,
I would say Postbox website. I'm sorry.
Postbox Co. Yeah. Yes. LinkedIn. I know you're there a lot. Facebook. I am available in all the places.
Okay. I'll be sure to include that in the show notes because it's coming up fast. If people are interested, they need to like jump soon.
Yes. This one is a November one. However, I do them 3 times a year.
Oh, sweet. Okay. That is really good news. because I'm not exactly sure how quickly I can get this sucker produced, but I love that it's 3 times a year and that people can find out about them and talk to you yes. about whether or not it's the right fit for them.
Yep.
I'm guessing, yep. right? And see.
Yes.
And then find out more about it. I think that sounds really beautiful. And Meredith, I am so grateful to know you and to call you a friend.
Yes.
And so happy to have you on the show. Thank you so, so much for being here.
It was fun. It was fun talking about 50 Not Dead, 50 and thriving.
50 and thriving. Absolutely. Meredith, thank you again. I totally appreciate you and what you bring to women and just to your interactions with people. I wish people could, if this were a YouTube thing, people could get to see you. So they now need to look on your website and see that you really are a luminous being and not just in looks, which are also there, but also in terms of, you know, the light that comes through you. It's really, really apparent. And I wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
If you'd like to share your story or your ideas on how to move this discussion forward, I would love to hear from you. Please feel free to contact me at Cameron@CameronHuban.com or visit my website, www.CameronHuban.com.